Welcome to Everyday Entrepreneurs Everywhere with your host, Chris Parker.
And welcome back to Everyday Entrepreneurs Everywhere. This is Chris Parker, and I'm having a conversation with Saskia Voss. And Saskia and I, off the top of my head, have known each other probably close to 20 years. Like 2001 is when I started LeasePlan as a silly American, not knowing anything about the Netherlands or even about leasing, well, at least European style leasing. And Saskia was working with the executive team and the CEO at that time, and was I think instrumental in guiding me through the corporate life. And she is a coach and HR professional and is working through many different channels with many different types of entrepreneurs by different definitions. So she's entrepreneurial on her own, and she's helping other people in their entrepreneurial efforts. So absolutely delighted. So Saskia, thank you for joining. We've known each other for, you know, 2 decades, and I'm really curious what we learned from each other. But can you kick us off by sharing what is it that you do and why do you do what you do?
Well, I've started my own coaching business and HR consultancy about 4.5 years now. That was at the time when LeasePlan had a huge reorganization of which I was part. And I decided that it would be great to have another opportunity. I've been working with LeasePlan for a very long time, the last 8 years as manager of LeasePlan Academy, where I also was very much into guiding people, helping people, coaching people, etc. And I decided that I really liked that part of my job very much. So when I got this opportunity, I decided to get accredited as a coach, so get my papers, and then started my own business. And it's been great ever since. I mean, it's very delightful to work with so many different people with so many different backgrounds, different challenges, and to be able to get in touch with them, to be able to get to the bottom of things, where I have my own style. I like to relate to people. I like to get in really on a personal level. And then people start opening up to you. And that's when you really find that you are hitting on stuff, and then you can actually help them. And that makes it very rewarding. It's I still get lots of feedback from coaches, from coaches who now tell me, oh, I've done this, or I've got this new role, or I'm so happy now. And that, I mean, that makes it great. Yeah.
Saskia, I'm really curious, and I have an answer that I would imagine in my head, but about your inner motivation, like your reason to pursue this sort of theme over the last many, many years. So why are you in that space? Meaning, what is your inner drive?
I think my inner drive is that I really like to have a connection with people. It's maybe strange to say of yourself, but I kind of feel what people like or need or like to do at a certain time, and then I get an automatic drive to start and help people. that's something I really like to do. I mean, that's also how we got to know each other. Mm-hmm. to just help a little bit with advice, how to address people, how to talk to people, and that's how it all started, I guess. And then when you really get into the depth of things, and you really start coaching people, then you really feel like, yeah, this is what I like doing. And at the same time, as I like the combination of being an HR consultant as well, because only coaching is great and it's really rewarding. But I like the combination with also getting to do stuff and thinking on a more strategic level as to how help organizations into how can I build up my HR department again, or do some reorganization stuff, or have a strategic feeling about where to be headed with your staff. So the combination of the both makes it really interesting for me.
I can sympathize with that. That as you know, with me, I stay involved in projects and leadership roles every once in a while, and I keep coaching, and having that sort of in working in the business feeling, as well as working on with a sort of a on the business with in a coaching perspective. That also really I guess is satisfying to me. But the question that's inspired within me is going to sound kind of harsh about the HR profession. Many HR professionals that I know who are very good at their job are more interested in protecting the company than caring about the people. And I've always seen that as a sort of a something about your profile that you sort of brought both together somehow. How do you balance that, or advise people on how to balance, you know, protecting the pure financial business interests of the company as well as the human interests of the people? Because that's always a tension somehow, and somehow you do it well. What's the perspective on that?
Well, I guess that my background as having been a PA for a long time to a great CEO has really gave me that advantage of helping him in really seeing as what comes back from the business, how people feel, how people deal with stuff that is going on, how people lack communication on some things, which triggered him to take action. And at the same time, giving back to people how the organization works and why some decisions have to be made and why that's relevant for people as well and how they can benefit from it if they take it from the right angle. So I think that has helped me a lot in getting that balance right.
I absolutely believe it, because you've had so much more experience with Vihit than I have, but the moments that I have been able to be coached by him are just precious, and he sort of embodied that balance. So lovely. So coaching, the thank you for that answer. That just made me feel warm inside, because again, we had such an amazing time. You know, LeasePlan, like any company, was never perfect, but that part of LeasePlan's history was, I think it benefited the lives and careers of so many people.
Absolutely.
So love it. Yeah, now, one of the channels that you work through, if I can call it channels, is Nederland Leert Door. And that is a program that is, you know, inspired, I think, by COVID to help people get back on their feet. Can you share a little bit on what that program's about and what you're doing there? Because it sounded amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's initiated by the government and it's subsidized by the government. And I'm currently linked with an organization called Talent First. And they have been very active in obtaining a lot of coaches from that program. There have been two batches in the meantime. One started half August last year and one started in December this year. The first batch was for 20,000 people and the second batch was for 55,000 people. So it's really a huge initiative. And both initiatives were gone in one day. So that only shows that so many people are in need of coaching, in need of help with regard to their jobs, with regard to their careers, with regard to how to make the best of the life in COVID and after COVID again. So it's a great initiative. And what it does, it gives people the opportunity to get into 4 hours of online coaching. So we as coaches, we deliver that. And that comes from a wide variety of questions, coaching questions. I mean, I've had students who still are in college, and I've had people who are near retirement. I have people who have a mental disability or people who are highly gifted. People who are in their jobs and don't feel well anymore, people who want to start their own business. It's a huge variety of questions. And with these 4 hours of coaching, I felt like, it's online. That's a pity. But that actually works great because you see each other. You see each other at least until here. So if somebody's down and I can see their shoulders hanging, I feel like, hey, something is wrong. If I see them lift up and their eyes start sparkling, hey, it's going well with them. So that really helps. In addition, they get a scan, a labor market scan or an entrepreneur scan, which helps them to realize where their competencies are and what they need to further develop. And we go through the outcome of that scan as well. And we have some extras from Talent First, which is they are entitled to 8 months online e-learning programs, a wide variety of training, free. So that's really a great opportunity. And there's another program which is called a 30-day dream job journey. And then you get an email every day which helps you to actually get into where am I, what am I passionate about, what I'm proud of. My angle is I take people from their strengths. I don't like to go into pitfalls because you know your pitfalls and you deal with them every day. But dealing from your strength and building on that strength and really taking that back to the street again, that's what makes people tick. So that's what we do. So it's a very concise program, but it's actually very helpful for people. And it's that's what I do now most of the time. At the moment, I'm doing 120 people. In the first batch, I had 71. So it's a huge amount of in general, happy coachees. So that's really good.
Incredible. A couple of questions that are coming out from that. One of them is have you seen real, because 4 hours it seems a bit limited, but have you been able to achieve, I don't know, breakthrough or some perception, some perspective shifts? Like what are the stories that you like to celebrate about your work there?
Well, I've just to give you one example of what you can do in 4 hours, really, I do give homework, actually, also to get the pace going and to make people actually work with themselves. So I don't let them wait until the next coaching conversation we have. But I let them do homework, and they come in between with their homework back to me, and I give them feedback on it so that we can really get some speed into it. But I've had one coachee who was an engineer. And he really felt like, this has been my study, and I'm happy, and I have a great job. I really feel kind of down all the day, all day. I lack energy. It doesn't work for me, but I don't know what to do. So then I start doing exercises, like finding out where people are. What are your values? What are you passionate about? What makes you happy? What are your strengths? I also make them ask feedback from their friends, what their strengths are. And then we start to just, in Dutch, it's called mijmeren. And we just start to linger on thinking about what we're doing. What makes you happy? What do you want to do when you grow up? It's basically a question that I ask. And then they go very broad. They can go back from doing something they wanted to do in their childhood and doing something they're doing now, anything. And then we start bringing back focus again, saying, okay, what is it you like about that? And what is it that might disappoint you? And had, like this engineer I was talking about, he really came to the conclusion that he wanted to work outdoors mostly, and he really felt passionate about it. And he wasn't much into gardening, but he wanted to be outdoors. And ultimately, he became, I don't know what the English word for that is, a boswachter, somebody who's in charge of a piece of nature.
Forest ranger.
Something like that, yeah. Yes. And he's actually got a job now in that area, and he's really happy. And we achieve that in 4 hours' time. Others, you notice that you at least get them to think, and they get you get them in the right path, you get them in the right direction. Not everybody achieves that kind of breakthrough. But most people have a sense of, yes, this is what I like to do. What I also do is when people want to start their own business, I start making them think about, what is your product? What do you want to offer? So start a bit of writing your business plan already. And what's your target group? So that they really think, and then also ask them, when you're writing that down, how does it make you feel? Do you get energized? Do you feel like, oh, I want to start tomorrow? That really feels great. Or do you feel like, having a good think about it, maybe this isn't it. And that helps, because it brings you, initially people have dreams and they have something like, oh, this is what I want to do. And when they really start thinking about it a bit deeper, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And that's also good. So yeah, that's you can achieve an amazing lot in 4 hours, I have to say.
I love it. The work that I do with the Simplicity Scan, the first questions around your purpose, organizational purpose. So the why, that's also why I start these podcast conversations with that question, because that for me is the driving thing. Who's the customer? What's the product? What's the experience that you co-create with the customer, and then the mindset. So I always start with those five questions. And I love your perspective on how do you feel? Because I do the same thing. Because, what I see over time is if it doesn't feel well, it won't end well. Because maybe the motivation's off or the logic's off or something. And so it's actually sort of this iterative process to keep refining it. Hopefully talking to people, potential customers or whoever, and validating and then refining it and stuff. So it's a... It sounds lovely. If people want to benefit from this, is there going to be another cohort or how does that work?
I'm not sure. I think there's a huge demand. So it may be that the government decides to have another group, but that hasn't been decided yet. Mm. What we do see is that some people have stepped out, but there's still some remaining places for people who still want it. We keep offering it on LinkedIn, for instance, to say, look, there's still place, there's still room. Because people have backed out sometimes,
yeah,
and then people still benefit from that. But I do hope so, because I think it was a great initiative, and I think it's usually appreciated by people. So yeah, it's let's hope.
Let's hope. And I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's nlleertdoor.com. Interesting is .com. But this is really for the Dutch speaking world. So the people in the Netherlands.
Well, actually, I have a couple of English speaking coaches.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But they
based here in the Netherlands.
They work here.
Yeah.
And you also have to have a BSN number to be able to get that entry.
And a BSN number for our international audience is a social security number.
Social security number. Yeah.
Lovely. And just going off script a little bit, if people would like to experience that, I guess they can reach out to you on LinkedIn and maybe you could even make a custom package for them.
Yeah, that's something
that's possible.
Yeah, I would be happy to guide them further and make sure they get enlisted still if in the original program. But that'd be great. Yes, we still have room for people. So that's
if the program is full, could people just contact you as a coach and say, help me with this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So the other, half, of your professional work is in HR professional domains, you know, doing HR strategy and probably operations with some big brands. Can you share a little bit on what you're doing there?
Yes, well, to have a lovely example, I once came in touch with a customer, potential customer at that time, who came in with a typical HR question. It was a smaller business, a medium-sized business, and it was a family business. And they came in with the typical HR question saying we need a salary house and we need a little bit of reorganization. And can you help us with that? So yes, my pleasure. Then I come in and then I start asking questions like you typically do. So what's your strategy? Because I also like to make sure that the HR line is in line with your strategy, et cetera. And what's your budget? And it turned out they didn't have any of that. So then we move back to saying, okay, then there's a bit of different work to do here. So we start working on your strategy and we start working on the basics to really build your organization and take it from there. And then move on to your typical question in terms of HR, which was really then something which came on much later. Hmm. And then you work with the management. And that was a great experience because they were very eager to learn and they really felt that I could help them at the time. And you could see them grow. You could see them actually develop into working together better to have a more defined way of looking towards the future. And that helped their business as well. So that was really a great opportunity. They do the same now with the retailer. That was also a franchisor of a supermarket brand here in the Netherlands. And it starts out as a coaching process, but then it moves on into an HR organizational process. And that's really, and then once you start coaching people, they come up quick, you come up with questions, they come up with new things. So you start to develop. It almost feels like your own company at that moment. For me, at least, that feels that way. And I have something like, okay, we're going to do this together. And then it's, and that makes it very interesting for me, the combination of both coaching assignments and HR strategic assignments makes it very interesting for me to work on both areas.
I was triggered by the word strategy. So when they didn't have a strategy, was that like a fundamental business strategy or an HR strategy? Or what was the journey that you took them through? Because
it was a fundamental business strategy. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
They were successful and they had a good result every year, but they didn't quite know where it came from. And they also didn't quite know where to go. And they had a huge ambition because they wanted to grow significantly, but didn't know how. So then we had to look at, okay, what is going to be your strategy? What are we going to focus on? Because now the focus was very broad and this was successful, this was less successful. So we really had to look at how it worked and what would work for them towards their future goals. And together, because it was they were brothers, together they decided on what was important for them. And then we started moving in that direction, define the strategy and put also then KPIs to it and targets and goals and also a budget towards the future, the finances. We got some other experts in because that's really not my cup of tea. So we've got a financial expert in and we've got a process management a specialist in, but they helped with this whole thing, but it really turned out quite successful. So yeah, that was great.
Mm. I can imagine if you know, people are asking, you know, for a salary house or something, that they're probably trying to solve some problem. And then I think the wisdom there is to ask them, okay, well, what are you trying to do, as opposed to just delivering the product that they've asked for. And cool. Earlier today, I was on a coaching session with some executives from a chemical company, and one of them made a comment that I thought was insightful. I've heard it before, but it triggered me, which that strategy is deciding on what not to do. And I'm curious, how did those brothers in that business wrestle with, because it's also then family owned, I guess, which is a whole different kettle of fish. How did they make those decisions, and how did you facilitate that dialogue? Because
I physically sat in on their management team meetings for over 6 months, and really also helping them during the meetings. I set up the agenda. Everybody agreed to that agenda. I talked to people saying, what do you need to get out of these meetings? What is important for you? Because they all had different areas of expertise and areas of attention. But at the same time, they sometimes mingled with each other's activities, which then caused issues. So then so I set up an agenda. I sat there. I sat with the meeting. Sometimes I gave a timeout. Well, look, what's happening here? Why are we doing? Very pragmatic, very practical. But that really helped. And they trusted me, which was great. I was honored by that. And I really felt like we're making good progress here. And then they take over. Then it becomes, once you do that long enough, it becomes part of the DNA. So they understand when they're going in the wrong direction, they feel like, hey, we're doing this now. We've been told not to do this, and we're doing it again. Why? What's happening? So that you really feel like you're making progress as to they're in implementing it, what you've taught them. And then, yeah, you just move on. I installed strategy days twice a year, where we really sat on the hay with our feet on the table, and that they really felt like, okay, just spit it out. What's your vision? What's your view? Where do you want to go? And then how do we get there? Make it smarter. So actually, what do we need to do?
Yeah. I have to laugh with this set on the hay, because hay sessions is, I, you know, that's a Dutchism that I don't understand. So a hay session is like a strategic offsite, but they call them hay sessions. And did you actually sit on hay, I hope?
We actually sat in a hotel in a very nice location, okay. Near the dunes, near the sea. And it was really lovely. Yes, it was, because it takes them out of their office. And out of the daily routine, and out of calls by people, or do you have 5 minutes for me? No, because I'm not there. And that's But yeah, no, I understand. Hey, sessions is a typical Dutch thing.
Yeah, so it's that's something I had to learn and figure out. I'm curious, Saskia, and feel free to fire questions back if anything's on your mind. But if we really extract very far out now, and we're seeing changes in talent. We're changing in management style, Corona, distance working, hybrid working. I'm curious, because you have such a broad exposure to people working at different dimensions of this. What are the patterns that you're seeing? Like, are you seeing any key, like how people are responding to COVID? Are they through the fear? Are they is there optimism, or is it really just down to individuals and it's just a whole shotgun of reactions? I'm curious what you're seeing out there.
I think the majority is very positive towards the future, is very eager to do stuff again, also to not being afraid to do different stuff. There's a huge digitalization also going on, of course, so there's some jobs just don't have that much perspective anymore. That's also why we do the labor market scan. It really gives a perspective. Okay, your ambition is here, your interest is here, but looking towards the future, that those kind of roles are not that's going to be that successful anymore. And then you feel like there's a huge need to reconnect with each other, physically, but also in terms of business wise. And I think there's a huge enthusiasm of picking yourself up again and going on, at least within the group I have. And of course, these people choose for a coaching project like this. So they're kind of by nature interested in their future and moving forward. I see whole different groups of for instance, the people from bars and restaurants. They look for different jobs. You can see that. And that's also what you notice now in the labor market. Those kind of facilities have difficulty finding new people. You can see them now again publishing, we need staff. But it's very difficult now to get that staff because it's fragile. It's people are still not that certain that these companies will survive once all this is behind. So there you see there's businesses that will suffer still a long time from COVID, I think. But the positive feeling and the feeling like we're going to beat this and we're going to do this, that's absolutely on top. Yeah. And of course, there's going to be a huge change in working. There's very many companies who say we don't come back to the office anymore for 5 days. And I think people embrace that. They want to connect, so they want to go to the office 2-3 times a week. But 2 days working from home is fine with most people, and they look forward to that. It gives you also a bit of room to do different things. Yeah.
People seem to have adapted well. Another dimension that I'm seeing is I was talking to an HR director again of a multinational not long ago, and this was kind of a traditional company, and in IT they had a staff turnover in IT of 27% per year, which is wow. And yeah. during COVID, it went down to 17%. And the thought there was, and they're having programs to sort of rejuvenate their culture because it's really an old school type of institution. But the fear was that maybe those people that would be normally churning are waiting. And so their fear is it could go up to 40% or something. You know, maybe everyone's just waiting and then everyone's going to start shifting around the marketplace. So I think it's going to be really fascinating.
Yeah, everybody was holding on to their jobs.
Yeah.
And that's also logical. I mean, you don't want to be unemployed during COVID. That's much less secure for yourself. But yeah, I can imagine their fear for that.
It's the dimension of purpose and the why, the deeper why that I'm curious about. And again, I'm jealous that you have this exposure of, you know, these hundreds of entrepreneurs and people. Something I'm hearing a lot and anecdotally, I feel as well that people are becoming more connected with their self and their inner motivations. And then they're seeking out organizations that have an aligned purpose or similar values. Whereas maybe before, I don't know, maybe before people went to work for a bank and they thought it was going to be that's their career and they punched their time card and made widgets and then went home. But it seems like people are more interested in the purpose and in the impact of the company. Are you seeing that in your conversations, or are people just looking definitely. For a paycheck?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's also a bit of a generational thing. I think the elderly people are still more loyal to their organizations and still more steady with, but especially the people from early 20s to well in their 40s look for purpose indeed. They want to be either socially contributing to the society or environmentally contributing, and they really feel like what I do. It needs to have value for the world as a whole, or the company, or the country, to have that kind of purpose behind it. It's not just go to work, get my paycheck, do my stuff, don't care what the company is doing. There's a huge interest indeed in what the company is standing for. Does it do damage to environment? Considered a money grabbing organization? I don't want to be related to that. What you also see is a huge trust in at least jobs with the government. And that's fascinating for me. That's fascinating to see. People still believe, and I think that's also true, government is a very steady employer and have good benefits. So people are really interested in getting a job with the government, either local government or central government. I have a number of trainees who want to be a trainee in the international government, so like the European government, programs, and that's a huge assessment process before they get in. So then I take them through every step, and we practice competencies, and we practice interview skills, etc. And then they move on, and that's especially, of course, with people in their early 20s. You see, yeah, purpose is very important. People need to feel they can make a contribution into what they do as well.
Love it. Yeah, I feel and I see this trend as well. And I think there might be a generational thing there as well. I think that's a great insight. So as we're starting to wrap up, Saskia, I'm curious. It's a question I usually ask much earlier, but like, who is the perfect customer for you? So like, can you describe who, you know, because you're doing coaching, career coaching, you know, direction coaching, job change coaching, as well as on one side, and then you also have the insight of the HR. So you can also give advice on how HR organizations can find these people who are out in the market now. But what's your, you know, the most enriching, delightful assignment that is for you? And then it'll be a big shout out to those people to go find you on LinkedIn.
Well, for me, talking from HR consultancy, so from HR perspective, the most interesting customer for me and the customer who can actually get the most from me in helping them out is the customer who's not that evolved yet in their HR business, in their HR strategy and everything that comes with it, and is learning that their staff is getting restless, they want to do something, they want to be developed, there's stuff underneath, there's tension underneath, and they don't know where it's coming from, and they have this goal they want to go business-wise, and they just look back and say, oh, there's nobody there anymore. And those are, for me, the most interesting customers, because there I can really add value, I think, to really help them, sit with them, explain to them in a very pragmatic way what's going on and how it works and how they can actually learn from their staff and take them along with them and make the most out of their companies. And from a coaching perspective, my ideal coachee is somebody who's eager, who's willing, who has a problem. Has a challenge. It doesn't matter what kind of challenge, but who wants to do something with it. So then when I get homework, that you call me the next day, I've done my homework and now I've come across this and what's happening. And then then my motor starts rowling as well, that you really feel, oh, okay, great. You're into it. And then it's a vice versa action. And that's my ideal customer as well in that sense. How about you?
I'll answer that in a second. I love how clear it was on your mind. So I think you've been discovering that and reflecting on that over the last number of years. My perfect customer there's three different dimensions in my professional world. So there's these corporate technology digital assignments. And to answer that specific, there is a lot of similarities here, meaning if it's a very large multinational mature organization, those are probably not the places that are best for me, you know, because that is actually just making small tweaks. But if it's an organization that is hungry, ambitious, audaciously ambitious, and it isn't sure how to solve their problem, that is where I can really run magic, you know, because just with my superpower of smelling the environment to see, okay, what's going right, what's not going right, and then simplifying and finding those paths. That's just really joyful. And of course you need the environment and the people, the team. So it's, you know, to do that. In my other area, which is my film work, we have produced three feature films, and we've done that in a very indie way. And so I can't say this is my perfect customer, but my dream customer is to actually do a more Hollywoodish style production, so larger budget, and it's still on my bookshelf over here, Logic Comics, that is a graphic novel that hasn't been made into a film, and I'm still hunting that. So a name that you know, Emmanuel Rutten, We've talked about this. I'm still hunting it. I'm still hunting this. It still might happen. So that's my perfect. So I guess in film, the perfect project is one that is captivating to an audience, as well as fun to make. You know, so that's sort of the because so far we've been doing more the fun to make and less on the audience side. So that's
So it's, make that balance better.
Yeah, write that balance, and then on the coaching and mentoring, what I tend to like is teams. So when I'm actually like you were saying, you were sitting in on some team meetings, doing one-on-one, like career coaching type stuff. Well, it's fun. What I find is my true magic there and my true joy there is actually me not being the source of answers or source of questions, but actually making the connections and facilitating the sparks between people. And sometimes reflecting and say, well, you know, you just said that from this morning, you just said that the board is hyper bureaucratic. And then now you are asking for bureaucracy yourself, you know, so how do you reconcile those, you know, and then try to go for those moments of pause.
Yeah.
And that aha, like, oh shit. Like, oh, yeah. Thought. Yeah. Yeah. So again, for me, the corporate work, which is team oriented, and the coaching work oftentimes intermingle. And it sounds like it does the same with you. You can come in one angle or another and then expand a little bit.
Exactly.
And what I really delight is actually working in a portfolio. So I have a number of relations right now that I'm doing. So going to work for a single organization, you know, 60 hours a week, again.
Exactly.
That doesn't really do it for me. I don't think it would make me happy. I don't think it would make anyone else happy. So.
No, the combination of the different kinds of things is I fully understand.
So you've known me for 20 years. As I just shared with you, my perfect customers, does that fit in your perception of me, knowing me pretty well, or?
Oh, yes. You're absolutely a very creative person, and you like to move on, so that's why you also perhaps can get stuck at a larger corporate organization. You feel like it has to go through different layers. Everybody has to think something about it. Everybody has to make a decision about it. And then you send back, do some more homework, and then you get back with your new proposal, and then you send back again. So. So yes, I can fully relate to that. That you need the speed to make better steps in that sense.
And yeah, and like with LeasePlan, I sort of a couple of times had the best of both worlds. Meaning, like with the EuroDC project, and Vahid was kind enough to be the chair of that. We sort of created an entrepreneurial space in the company, and we're able to have that speed, which has its strengths and weaknesses, of course. But delightful. Thank you, Saskia, for the reflection and the feedback. For those that would like to be in touch, there's the nlliertdoor.com, which is the program. And you might even want to just connect with Saskia on LinkedIn, which is, I'll put the link in the show notes, but she's at saskia-voss-6111468 on LinkedIn, but the link is in the show notes.
Yeah,
so wherever you're listening to this or watching this, you can find her there. And I hope they do. So Saskia, thank you so much for joining. It's been a delight. And we have, as we promised each other, discovered new things about each other. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player and download the Simplicity Kit from ebullient.com.